Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Travolting presents Bobbin for Robin. Hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore.
Covering Father's Day. Enjoy the episode.
All right. Can I start things off?
Please.
So I want to just read some responses to this film after it came out.
Okay.
I'm just going to cut to like the post-text real quick.
Okay.
Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times described the film as a brainless feature-length sitcom with too much sit and no calm. Devastating. Julia, no, that's not the one I was looking for. The film was also nominated for most painfully unfunny comedy at the 1997 Stinkers Bad Movie Awards, but barely lost to Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag.
My God.
What the fuck is that?
Barely lost.
Rotten Tomatoes synopsis, a maudlin misfire. Father's Day manages the difficult task of making both Billy Crystal and Robin Williams woefully unfunny. I just like some of the devastating takedowns of this movie.
This movie is not great.
It's not very good.
My opening was going to be Robin Williams, Billy Crystal. All right, and thank you all for listening. Special guest.
Yeah,
it's like that is this movie. It's just Father's Day, Robin Williams, Billy Crystal. That's it. That is like, name a more movie that's like literally just like, let's just get our actors and we'll figure out the rest later. Like we'll figure out the script, we'll figure out the title, we'll figure out the movie, we'll figure out the sets, we'll figure out the angles. Like, let's just like what's like two actors that we can put on a movie poster and we'll make like $1 million.
This is very much just like, we'll get Robin and Billy together. They're great together. We put them in a movie. What could go wrong? And then you don't think about anything else.
Yeah. Hi everybody. Thank you all for tuning into Bobbin for Robin. Today's episode is on 1997 Father's Day, directed by Ivan Reitman, starring Robin Williams, Billy Crystal. Thank you all for listening to our episode last week on Hamlet. We were joined by Matt Abalde, and we had a really great conversation about Kenneth Branagh, Shakespeare's adaptations and all that good stuff. Oddly enough, Hamlet, as we said last week, because on Father's Day, you know, it's the titular two-hander of Robin Williams and Billy Crystal, but it is not the only movie that they share the screen together with.
Yeah.
I tried to make sure like I got this correct. They are actually both in Hamlet together, not in the same scenes though. And they're also in Deconstructing Harry.
Yes.
I don't think they share any scenes in Deconstructing Harry either.
Harry. Isn't it Henry?
It's Harry.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I don't know about that.
Google.
Okay.
Yeah. I literally have it up in front of me.
Okay. It's
Deconstructing Harry.
I'm thinking of Regarding Henry, the Harrison Ford one.
Yeah.
That's the
common mistake.
Common mistake.
Yeah. the pretext of this movie is that Robin Williams, Billy Crystal, both who are pretty much at the height of their powers right now, they have been longtime friends since like the late 80s, early 90s. And they've always kind of been like clamoring to do a project together. Because they've done some collaborative projects with each other before, just not movies. They did the comedy fundraiser show. I'm trying to think of what the name was. That was HBO. I've talked about it before. It was with Whoopi Goldberg. It's just not coming to me. Sorry. We're both very tired.
We're both very tired.
But yeah, so they've worked on other projects and things before. They've also been in an adjacency to each other in different projects and roles, where they are in the same project, but just not sharing scenes. And they've like both Billy and Robin as best friends have wanted to be in a movie together. And so, I think it was Crystal who was given a copy of the French comedy that this movie is based off of. French comedy came out in 1983, Les Compères,
which stars Gérard Depardieu, who we've had to fucking talk about three episodes in a row now.
Yeah,
which
we
is
have.
Like really ridiculous.
Lots of Depardieu.
Yeah, shout out Gérard Depardieu, who has recently been convicted of sexual assault. It was, and will probably be sent. He's going to prison in the next few months.
Yeah. And so, but yeah. So he gets that. And decides, oh, like this could be good for Robin and I. Like two guys who think they're the father who are going across, like it's not really a road trip movie, but it's kind of got like small elements of being a road trip movie. But it's like, yeah, they're searching for their runaway son, and all the while they're trying to figure out which one is the real father.
Yes.
It's like, what can go wrong with that premise with Robin Williams and Billy Crystal?
Answer, a lot.
A lot.
That's what I gotta say.
Yeah, and so that's pretty much all the pretext I have. I mean, unless you have anything to add as it relates to Ivan Reitman, the director of this movie.
No, I mean, Ivan Reitman's like a really interesting guy because he's directed like some of the most canonically successful comedies of all time.
Uh-huh.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. Stripes, Meatballs.
And then, like, he just kind of, like, segues into the family comedy world. Because it's, like, Twins, Kindergarten Cop, Junior.
Dave, My Super Ex-Girlfriend.
Junior, everybody, it is me and I am pregnant. Take a look at me. Danny DeVito is scanning my stomach.
Wow.
It is me and Danny DeVito are back after Twins.
But, yeah, it's Ivan Reitman's, like... And then, like, even Ghostbusters 2, like, is diminishing returns. By the time he's getting to this, it's, like, he doesn't have the, like, the luster he once had.
Yeah.
And so this is, like, it on paper, this seems like such a, like, a layup. Ivan Reitman directing these two guys, the first, like, a big movie together.
Yeah.
Based on a successful French comedy, what could go wrong? The answer is, when you have... that kind of stuff, and you're confident in yourself. Sometimes you just don't like ask yourself on set, is this funny?
Well, for me, it's like, yes, there's a lot of bits that I think like when they're on set and they're having a great time together, like this very much reads like Billy and Robin were having a great time on set, cracking jokes, making people laugh. But then when the cameras start rolling, like they do what they think is funny in the room in front of people together, like a comedy routine. And then you get it on the cutting room floor. It's like, this isn't funny.
Yeah. No, this just doesn't work on
this
screen.
This just doesn't work on screen. Because that's something that's very, like... But before we started recording, you were talking about The Naked Gun. That you're watching all the Naked Gun movies in preparation to watch the new one. And there is something to be said about, like, comedians on the stage versus on screen. And just comedy as a genre on stage versus on screen. That it is very, like... Like, what's funny in the living
Naked
room?
The Naked Gun is a cinematic comedy. That's what's so good about that first one, especially, is that it is a comedy designed for the screen. If, like, you were just standing in a room watching, like, the Naked Gun, it's probably not as funny.
Yeah.
But whereas, like, because that movie's, like, the camera is such a part of the comedy in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the understated stuff of, like, that shot where, you know, it's the tracking profile of the three guys walking into, like, the police lab. And you see two of them go through the door, and then Frank Sherman just walks around the set. Which is only funny if the camera's there in that exact position.
Yeah.
And you understand the language of cinema, that we're going through like an open wall here, but story-wise, we're supposed to believe that the wall extends through the fourth wall past the camera, and Frank Sherman just walks around it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's you know, that's why that works.
And it's the thing, like, this movie concept seems like it would be funny like, this is a funny elevator pitch movie. Like, I can imagine someone pitching this idea and be like, oh my God, that is hilarious. Like, two guys who both think they're the father of this one kid, and they're trying to understand who the real father is. And meanwhile, they're all battling their own, like, things.
A guy in the middle of the park in full view.
Last year on the south side. Understand? That's my policy.
Yes, well, when I see five weirdos dressed in togas stabbing a guy in the middle of the park in full view of 100 people, I shoot the bastards. That's my policy.
That was a Shakespeare in the Park production of Julius Caesar, you moron. You killed five actors. Good ones.
Very good. And so I think... So this movie, like... concept seems like it'd be a good like 5 minute elevator pitch. It also seems like this movie would be a good like anecdote to tell a funny joke on stage of a comedy show. Like, you guys won't believe this. So recently this broad like called me up and said I was the father of this kid. And so and I had to go look for him. And then I ran into this other joker who said he was told he was the father. And it's like, it's a thing of like, yeah, this, but then put this into an hour and a half long movie and like, the joke falls flat like 10 minutes in, like, and then the rest of the movie, you're just watching Robin Williams and Billy Crystal try to be funny, and there's nothing to help that comedic aspect,
like,
to the movie.
If Rodney Dangerfield was just here, for just talk? Like saying this, the pitch of this movie, it would be funny.
Yeah, this broad, she told me I was a father.
And like, if it was just like,
hi, honey, I'm home. Did the plumber ever get here? Wanda, what's going on here?
She didn't have to answer. It was written all over their faces. I went berserk with rage. I saw red. Then I saw the screwdriver in his toolbox. There was no turning back. I was a madman. Wanda tried to stop me, but I told her she was full of hot air. I was a man possessed.
Like, if it was, like, Rodney just saying it like that, yeah, it's funny.
It's funny.
But when you make a movie that's funny, it still has to function like a movie.
Yeah.
This is the key to the theatrical comedy being good, is you almost kind of have to make the jokes, like, you have to first and foremost have a movie that functions as a movie. Without the comedy. And then lay the comedy in.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that structure that works, the movie just doesn't make sense. And it's not funny because you're spending the whole movie just being like,
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Like, the structure of this movie is so bizarre. They like solve the conflict 20 minutes in and then have to reinvent the conflict.
Right.
And do it again. There's like secondary conflicts that never intersect with the main plot storyline. Like, why the fuck do we keep cutting to Bruce Greenwood in this porta potty?
Yeah, like,
what is going on there?
What is going on?
Why does Julia Louis-Dreyfus like fly across the country to link up with them? And then he's like, yeah, here's what's going on. Yeah, here's what's going on, honey. And she's like, oh, I wish you just told me, but that's fine. And then she leaves.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. This is a first draft script.
It's sure. The structure of the great like road trip comedy.
Yeah.
It's like you have all these different things and they all kind of intersect at the end.
It's hard to do midpoint one even. Badly. Like a road trip movie. Like,
it's such an easy layup.
Yeah.
Like Midnight Run, Dumb and Dumber. Like it's like a tried and true structure that works.
Yeah.
And this movie's like, but what if we cut to Sugar Ray?
Yeah, Sugar Ray, a big component to this
movie.
So
much fucking Sugar Ray in this movie.
Yeah.
A thing I did not expect.
Should we get into the plot?
I think we should get into the plot.
Yeah. So we start with Billy Crystal, who is a... Jeff's having fun with the board today.
I'm playing Sugar Ray.
Okay. We start with Billy Crystal. Keep it playing. He was a cynical lawyer. The name of the movie is Jack Lawrence. And he's working on his law firm when he gets reached out to by a Nastasia Kinski.
Nastasia.
Who plays this woman who was a
Nastasia, maybe.
Who plays an ex, former lover of Billy Crystal. And she explains to them, like, hey, like, so you actually have a 16-year-old son.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. And he's like, but he ran away from home. And he won't listen to me. I can't seem to find him. All I know is that he went off to go to Sacramento.
Immediately, the movie is broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Immediately. Why is this the premise?
Yeah.
Why is the premise?
It's such a dumb fucking premise.
Why is the premise? She and her husband are not going after their son.
Yeah.
So she's going to the guy she hasn't seen in 17 years to find him.
Yeah.
What
are we doing?
Like,
what are we actually doing? Because
she'll say some bullshit like, yeah, he won't talk to us. It's like, well, you haven't gone to him.
Yeah, you haven't actually, like,
he just won't answer the phone. So, like, drive to fucking Sacramento.
Yeah.
And find him.
And there's, like, an attempt made to further justify the premise, but 20 minutes in the movie.
Yes.
Which is insane. Yeah. It's the scene where Bruce Greenwood is like, I didn't leave to go grab him right away because I was hoping he'd make up his own mind to come back.
But then,
and it's then why did you go? Yeah. Why did the mom go and hire these other guys?
Like, if she really cared, she would have insisted you go.
Yeah.
Instead of going to these like two guys who might be the father.
It's like you're spending the whole first part of the movie being like, why isn't she going? Why isn't her husband Bruce Greenwood going? Like, why are they? And then 20 minutes in, they give you like a soft answer to that question. But at that point, you've already checked out of the movie.
Yeah.
And you're not really. You're not invested in anything. Yeah. This is a classic movie where you ask yourself, why do I care the entire time?
You need to have a reason for her to go to these two guys.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that like they might actually be the father. Like, Billy Crystal has to be like a PI or something.
Something.
And it's like, oh, well, this guy who might be the father is also an investigator.
It's like, great. Like, that's good for like, one of them, and then you got Robin Williams.
Then you got to figure out the other one.
Yeah, like then she goes to Robin Williams, who is even like he's very incompetent in this movie.
Yes,
which I get it. Robin Williams, like again, going back into the trend of like Robin Williams, he's goofy and
here's my fix.
Blundering.
Can I fix this real quick?
Yeah,
it's sweaty, but I think it's a fix.
Okay,
Robin Billy Crystal is a like. A kind of like scumbummy like PI type instead of a scumbummy lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just kind of does like, you know, gets the like, he delivers like summons and whatnot.
Like
that kind of guy.
I am at like, yeah.
And so he's like good at finding people.
Yeah.
And that's why she goes to him. Robin Williams is a failed newspaper reporter who wants to be a writer of fiction. So he works in newspapers. He is like a journalist. Also good at finding people. That's all you need. That's all you need.
Jeff, I'll make it even easier for you. Yeah. You cut Bruce Greenwood and Robin Williams is the husband.
Yes. That's actually a substantially easier fix too.
But it's the thing of he's the blundering like father who doesn't know how to be a parent.
Yeah.
And Billy Crystal is this like, you know, off his rocker PI.
You know what? That's a substantially easier fix.
And the mom has no faith in Robin Williams, the fake real dad, in finding her son. And she remembers like, oh, and by the way, like, and also I don't think I don't think you need the setup at the beginning of the movie that they could both be fathers. How about this? It's like, well, our son ran away from home. You need to find him, Robin Williams. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what to do. Like, he hates me as a dad. He's not going to listen to me. And it's like, whatever you need to do in order to find him, just go find him. And then meanwhile, she turns the corner and she's like, I have no faith in that guy actually finding our son. And then she like...
Yes, this is the correct fix.
And she says like, you know what? I actually might know a guy. And she calls up Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal, who's like...
Competent.
This, like... alcoholic PI or whatever you want to say, but he's like a good PI. He's like, oh, like, it's been, how long has it been? Like,
He could even stay a lawyer. In this fix, he could even stay a lawyer.
It's like,
but he's like a good lawyer.
But it's like, oh, it's like, Colette, that's her character name. It's like, how long has it been? It's like, oh, it's like 17 years. Like, yeah, it's like, how you been? It's like, oh, good. Like, I have a son now. I'm married and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, that's great. It's like, actually, yes. Yeah, so I need your help with something. Our son ran away from home and I, listen, you know, what's his, Dale Putley. Dale's great. He's a good dad. He's not exactly like the inquisitive type.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you're a lawyer. You're good at finding people. You're good at digging information. Yeah. You think like, could I like bother you for your help? It's like, why are you coming to me for this? Why don't you just like call? It's like, well, I don't want to get like police involved or whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, fine. He's like, do you have any information? Like, here's a picture, blah, 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 and now all that stuff. And then he goes off. Robin Williams finally gets the Kurds and he goes off. Then they intersect. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, how do you know Colette? Oh, we were good friends 17 years ago.
And now in your fix, like the movie is now a conflict between a person whose entire life thought he's the father and now realizes he might not be, and someone who never had any aspirations of fatherhood and now has to confront them.
Yeah.
And like, that's a good conflict.
Yes.
However, there's one fix I could also recommend.
Yeah.
It's not a son, it's a daughter. She's 17. The main guy is played by Robert Downey Jr. We're actually watching 2015's The Judge.
No.
This guy stinks. Right. And you're just watching 2014's The Judge. No, I'm kidding. I just like to evoke the judge and that sweaty plot dilemma whenever I can.
Oh my god.
You know this.
Okay. But yeah, because like she literally like goes to Jack first and then calls up Dale, which Dale's setup is that he's on the verge of committing suicide because he's a failed writer.
Which was a little eerie.
It's a little eerie.
Watching Robin Williams have a gun in his mouth and be like, I'm gonna end it all.
That was a little bit spooky to watch. But also like Robin's not really being funny in this scene either. And so he meets her up for dinner or lunch and she does the exact same horse and pony show of like, yeah, and
yeah,
you have a son.
You might be the son.
And he's
what
like,
is her accent? Where's she from?
I don't know.
From West Germany, yeah.
What the fuck was that?
West Germany.
Does she have an accent in this movie?
She does. At one point, Robin Williams even says, that accent, huh?
Anyway. Yeah, so she gets Dale, Robin Williams in on it too. So now he's now off and running to it.
Can I tell you a scene that annoyed me?
Sure. This whole movie?
No, the thing is, in a movie like this, when you have these characters, you have to like justify like kind of bits with them. Like when you hire Robin Williams, obviously you're hiring a specific type.
Yeah.
But you have to like have him like fit into your character.
Exactly.
Because it's just they just do the same bit they'd done in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
In The Birdcage, in everything.
It just seems like he's where like, it's just like, do your he's thing,
like,
Robin.
Where he's like, oh, what would my son look like? And we get like a minute and a half of him like doing different voices and personas in like a static shot where he just like it's like jump cutting between all these different costumes.
Without the movie justifying it.
Yeah. Without the movie justifying. It's like at no point have we set up Robin Williams like does bits in this movie that he plays characters.
Quick fix.
If the rest of the movie is going to be like, you know, like Fletch style, he's walking in crazy costumes.
Quick fix. He's a failed children's book writer.
Or a failed actor.
Or that. But why does he do a lot of voices? Why does he do a lot of impressions? Because he, I don't know, he writes children's books. So he has a very big imagination. I don't know. Just like the whole, like the failed writer bit. It's like the first 3 minutes of the movie and he brings it up as a joke like twice in the entire movie.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm a writer, ma'am, so I can put it in better words for you. Like that's like it's like one throwaway bit like that. Yeah. And I'm like, what? It doesn't matter. Like we don't need like that's like so not like you've lost me so long ago that bit doesn't make an inch of impact to me whatsoever.
Stuart, how's that Celsius treating you right now?
It was good.
Have you heard about this?
I have heard about this. I have.
You just started like getting a little expressive, and I was like, "Is that a Celsius or a Nooner?"
I'm pretty sure it's a Celsius. Okay. I did buy this like a week ago, okay. So it would match
for, up. For the listener home, if you hadn't like checked the news 3 weeks ago when we recorded this episode, they accidentally packaged a bunch of High Noon cocktails as Celsius's energy drinks.
Dude.
And Stuart is drinking a Celsius right now, and he started getting a little espresso. I'm like, is he accidentally getting buzzed right now? By complete accident.
It's definitely Celsius. Okay. It's definitely Celsius. Talk about like that, the poor people who are like battling alcoholism.
Yeah. They're trying to drink an energy drink. Like, no.
That's just like, hey, you want a High Noon? Nah, I'm going to stick with my Celsius.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's really good. It's just, oh God. So I'm going to skip to the bit where they find each other. Is that fair? Is that fine?
No, yeah, it's fine. Like, it's like 20 minutes into the movie.
There's a quick scene where they go to a mechanic shop. Like, Billy Crystal gets there first and he beats up the mechanic and forces him to tell him where his fake son, maybe son, is. And then William shows up afterwards and is like, who are you? I'm the father. And the zoinks. But they do eventually like come together. And they come together and they don't. So stupid. They don't clock that they're looking for the same kid. He just says, oh, hi, like I'm looking for my son who's in Sacramento. It's like, I'm looking for my son who's in Sacramento. We should look together. So they go to this one lady and they're like trying to find out. It's like, where do you know where he went? And he's like, maybe. Do you have a picture of him? And he's like, yeah, here's a picture. So Billy Crystal pulls out his wallet, shows a picture first. Then Robin Williams pulls out his wallet, pulls out a picture, and it's the same picture. And the woman is like, is this a joke? They look at each other and it's like, really? Like literally they like, could have put in that like cartoonish sound in there. Like that's the vibe that the movie wants it to be. Just, it doesn't work. It's so not funny. And then they're both like, they decide to keep like remain teamed up, I guess, for this adventure. And then they make it to this like concert where
Sugar Ray is performing.
The reason why the son is there is because what we know at the beginning of the movie is he has this girlfriend who he ran off with, and they ran off to Sacramento to go to this concert that I guess maybe he wasn't allowed to go to, or he's hanging out with the wrong people.
Unclear.
And
it eventually becomes clear he stole money from a drug dealer.
Not just any drug dealer.
It's me, Jared Harris. I'm a drug dealer.
Bro.
What?
It's me, Jared Harris.
It's me, Jared Harris.
But it's like a lighter pitch.
A lighter pitch gravel is the thing.
A lighter pitch gravel. I can't do it.
No, you can't do it.
Can't do it.
None can. You should play his Moriarty monologue or something. Whatever. Regardless. They get the son out of the Sugar Ray concert. And you're like, oh, well, this is the one scene that Sugar Ray will be in. Sugar Ray will clearly not keep appearing throughout the movie. Endlessly. Are you looking up the Moriarty thing?
About that fortune of yours, I believe it's just reduced.
That's
undoubtedly encoded. So how then to break the code? Rook takes rook.
Pawn takes rook.
Bishop to bishop seven.
Queen takes knight pawn.
Does the art of domestic horticulture own such a? Never mind. It's.
God damn it. Okay, I'm trying to find the monologue, but...
Regardless.
What a winning strategy. How so?
My God! Like,
keep cutting to Downey every time.
It's like Downey just like hogs all the fucking...
Are you implying that Robert Downey Jr. likes to be on screen and say things? Are you saying that
more than his co-stars?
Are you saying that Robert Downey Jr. talks a lot? Are you implying that? Is that a thing you're saying?
Have you seen Fantastic Four?
I have. It's fine.
So it seems
okay. Like, skip ahead 30 seconds if you don't want a fucking Fantastic Four first step spoiler. You know who's in that movie and a reason I'm glad we decided not to do Downey for right now?
It was Robert Downey.
Oh, Robert Downey Jr. We'd have to cover Fantastic Four. He's in one shot, and you don't see his face.
I was gonna say, do we even see his face?
No, but they said it was him, so we'd have to cover it if we did because it's him. He's in a post-credit scene.
But so what's interesting is just sidebar to sidebar. It's like you saw Superman, you saw Fantastic Four. Yes. I've not seen any of these movies, and a lot of your reactions are like, they're fine, they're okay. And it seems like press-wise, like media-wise, like people are claiming these movies as being like, we're so back with Marvel, so, we're so back with DC. Like
the Superman has gotten a very good reception in the US. Yeah. It is making a good bit of money. It is a complete disaster overseas. No other countries are watching it. But America, it's doing really well.
Truth, justice, and the American way, bitch. Yeah.
It's doing very well here. Fantastic Four got I think it got a curve a little bit. People are like, oh, a watchable Marvel movie again. But it box office-wise, it's cratering in its second weekend. It's like these movies, specifically the Marvel ones, are now just very front-loaded. It's all the fans go opening weekend. It gets a big opening weekend. But then once the fans have seen it, it drops immediately.
Yeah.
Because it's like the regular audience doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four is just like a movie where you like, and my reaction to Superman as well, even though I know most people like that movie a lot more than me, is like, I like the idea of what they're doing here. I just don't think it works at all.
Yeah.
Like Fantastic Four, it's like that there's like, it starts and you're like, okay. And then nothing happens for an hour. Okay. And then the ending kicks in. You're like, oh, okay, something. Cool. A thing happened. Because the middle portion of that movie is like, Galactus is coming. We must find a way to stop him. And skip ahead another 30 seconds. Stuart, do you want me to tell you what their plan is to stop Galactus? We're going to take Bikini Bottom and push it somewhere else. They're literally like, what if we just teleport the Earth somewhere else? And so they build a fucking bunch of machines to teleport the Earth somewhere else, and it doesn't work. And Galactus shows up, and they're like, what if we just push him in a black hole? And they do that, and it works, and then he's gone.
Why is he not, planet size?
Here's the thing. I'm going to show you a picture.
This because, I saw some stills of it on the battle, and it's like, he's just like...
This is what Galactus looks like.
Yeah, it's like he's skyscraper size in the movie. But in comic book lore, he's like planet size.
He's planet size. And the movie also does he has a big ship and it eats the planet and then melts it down and then he absorbs it. And you kind of want to just see him eating buildings. I will say Ralph Ineson is an incredible Galactus. He does a very good job.
I mean,
he has got a great voice for it.
He's got a great voice.
Yes.
Right.
That movie is just a big nothing burger. The biggest fix that movie needs is it needs to start with an action scene, because you don't see them use their powers for an hour, even though it starts with them already having their powers. You kind of want you need the Incredibles style opening.
Yeah.
Where the first 20 minutes is just an action beat, where they're fighting the Mole Man or something for 20 minutes. And you get to see them all use the powers and saving people and doing their thing. And then you can get into the plot, because as it starts, you get a newsreel where guys the Fantastic Four. What a group. Here's all their powers and here are the things they've done for us, but you don't see them doing the things. And then it's just we're the Fantastic Four. And then Galactus shows up and yada, yada, yada. That's the problem with that.
And from what I understand in the lore, that is not the same Earth as MCU Earth.
I'm so tired.
Right.
It's a different Earth.
It's a different
it's a multiverse.
It's a multiverse thing, and it's a different multiverse, so that's why they can do that.
You know what I like?
Get away with it.
You know what was cool?
What?
When it was a superhero and there was a villain who came to town, and they would fight for a little bit. The movie would
end. I just think what we should be doing is why does every superhero thing need to be comic book adaptation? Why can't we just write an original screenplay of a superhero?
Oh, they've done it before.
Yeah, but they're all bad.
Yeah, because no one really sees them because they want the name brand stuff, the superhero characters.
I don't know. I think about it. It's
you want Chronicle?
Chronicle was good. Do you know?
I have not seen Chronicle.
Chronicle's good. Chronicle's really good. That's about the only one I can think of that was an original idea.
It has happened a few times. I can't remember. Brightburn was one, but no one liked that.
No one liked that. I heard that wasn't really good.
Anyway, regardless. Anyway. The Rocketeer.
Father's Day.
I'm going to say three words. Can I say three words? Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You better get the
best for me. All right. Calm down, boy.
Sorry, I just had that howling wolf.
Calm
video
down there, pulled, boy. Yeah, she's a 10 out of 10 in this movie.
Yes. Smoke show style. This movie has nothing going for it besides one line delivery of Billy Crystal's and then Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who's great.
Yeah.
Those are the two things I was going for.
Right.
Can I do the one Billy Crystal line reading I liked?
Please.
He's on the phone with Julia Louis-Dreyfus trying to like explain what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, who is that man in the back? It's at the same point we're talking about in the movie. They have Scott, the kid, in a hotel room and he's like drunk and Robin Williams is trying to like shower him sober.
Yeah.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus on the phone is like, what's going on in the background? And you see Robin Williams like showering this child. And then Billy Crystal goes, I gotta go. I have to help him towel off the boy. It's so fucking funny the way
it's
he
a
says
good
it.
It's a good delivery.
It's a great line. It's
That's
a good
the
delivery.
Thing. It's like I feel like Billy Crystal, Robin Williams. Like I think these are two
they're
guys
extremely talented.
They're very talented and they're both very funny in their own unique way. Are they funny compatible together? Did that phrase make any sense?
I think they are in a better. It's all about direction.
See, like, because I almost like this is why, like, Birdcage, Robin Williams, Nathan Lane. It's like that worked so well.
Yeah.
With Robin being the subdued, like, straight laced, like, kind of guy, and Nathan Lane being like the flamboyant one.
This movie has the right alchemy in the sense that, like, Billy Crystal's very good when he's annoyed.
Yes.
And Robin Williams is very good when he's annoying.
Right.
And that's a good mix.
It is a good mix.
The movie just it's all about direction and this movie's just poorly directed and poorly structured. And like so none of it like that they don't ever have a chance to synthesize their energies.
Yeah.
Because the movie just turns into Billy like they never have like a big blow up moment. It's like constantly just Billy Crystal being like, I gotta get back to my lawyering. And Robin Williams is like, but what about the kid? That's like every fucking scene in this movie.
We skipped through some things, but they find the boy. His name's Scott.
Towel him off.
He's really, really drunk, and they bring him to a hotel. They seemingly like kidnap this boy.
They do kidnap
two adult street like strange men just walk into a hotel with an unconscious 16-year-old. Like no one's gonna call the cops, and like no red flags. Okay, but they go into this hotel. They put him in a shower because he's like covered in vomit. As you describe, Billy Crystal gets a call from, Julia Louis, how do you say it? Julia
Louis Dreyfus.
Julia Louis Dreyfus. Okay. It's a fucking mouthful. I can't say more than two words. Calls his wife. She's like, what's going on? There's a lot of craziness happening in the hotel room. It's a little sweaty. It's a little humorous. And then he says, I have to towel off the boy. Then they wake up the next day. Crystal finds that he has like $5,000 in his pocket. He's like, that's weird. He's like, I'm late for a deposition. I got to go. Can you watch him? Robin's like, I got you. Robin does not have him.
Yeah.
Scott immediately runs away. And he calls up Billy Crystal. And they come up with this bit where it's like, there's a man who's like looking for you. It's like, is he crying? It's like, yes. It's like, I know who it is. Like as if like a crying man is like the giveaway that it's.
Yeah. Like Robin Williams is very sensitive.
That's his bit.
Yeah. That's his bit.
Is that he's very sensitive.
It's exhausting to talk about.
Crystal's bit is that he's really good at headbutts and he's a lawyer. Yeah.
Like what the fuck are we doing?
What are we talking about?
He's good at headbutts.
He's good at
headbutts. Is it because he's got a big forehead? Like right. He's like, was it no, because tech, he, Rob, he's just like,
Jeff,
hey, you know what, Billy? It'd be funny if you headbutt him because you got a big forehead. But he's like, you're right. Like, is that what happened?
No, because like the thing is, it's like he says it in the movie. It's like,
he's not a good fighter.
You gotta keep your back straight. Like that's the secret to it.
But Like, why?
I don't know. I don't know.
See, it's funnier if the movie never draws attention to it.
Right.
If he's just constantly headbutting people and never,
but that's the problem.
The movie never explains it. And you're just like, why does he keep headbutting people?
Like,
that's funny.
There was one other like kind of good bit where it's like when Robin's driving them to Sacramento and he stops in the middle of the road and he's like freaking out and Billy Crystal's like, what's going on? It's like, is there a dead body back there? You're like, no. It's like, okay. Sometimes when I'm driving, I feel like I see dead bodies. Okay. And then you just keep going. And then there's a good payoff to that bit where they're like driving somewhere and he immediately stops. And Billy Crystal's like, there's no dead body.
Yeah.
And then they just keep going. I'm like, that was like great, great, guys. You know how to set up and punchline a joke in
Ivan
a movie.
Reitman, remember when you directed Ghostbusters?
Like, what the fuck are we doing?
What is happening?
What are we doing?
I texted Stuart. I was like, is this the sweatiest movie ever made?
And my biggest thing is, like, I have so many big things about problems with this movie. Like, the thing I keep saying is, like, why do I care about any of this?
They set up this idea that Julia Louis-Dreyfus thinks he's, like, cheating on her or something in a hotel room in Reno.
Get fucked.
And so she, like, books a flight, and you're like, okay, we are setting up a classic dilemma in a comedy. The wife is coming to find out what's going on, and she will be under the impression he's cheating on her, and he will have to win her back.
Yeah.
A very, like, classic layup in a comedy movie. She shows up. She finds him. He explains what happened, and she's like, okay, I wish you had told me, but that's fine. And then she goes home. Like, what is this?
It's Twist.
Wait, what is this? Why is she like, that's fine.
Real Hollywood movie. It's a twist. Plot twist.
It's the craziest shit. Like,
the test results are in. I do have breast cancer.
It's like Room-esque, and it's a...
But because it is. It really is
integrity.
Just like, where, what do we do with that piece of information? Absolutely nothing. Yeah. Good Lord Almighty. They find Scott. They find out that he actually owes a lot of money to some drug dealers. And then around this time, Bruce Greenwood,
British drug dealers.
The quote unquote other father.
Yeah, we keep cutting to Bruce Greenwood. He's trying to get to the kid. But
stops
at
a gas station, goes to use a porta potty. Truck backs into the porta potty. Porta potty goes off a cliff. He's trapped in there, assumably covered in shit.
Yeah.
And we cut back and forth to this porta potty situation three times throughout the movie.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to cite a very unexpected movie this episode. 2011's Paul, the road trip alien movie.
They're about to
Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Seth Rogen is the alien. Mm-hmm. That movie is extremely sweaty in the sense that, like, it concocts, essentially, there's the three of them and Kristen Wiig in an RV.
Yeah.
They're driving across the country to try and get to Devil's Point. What?
I don't fucking know.
It's the one from Close Encounters. They're trying to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, they are being pursued by a government agent, played by Jason Bateman. They are being pursued by two other government agents, played by Bill Hader and Joe Lotrulio. They are being pursued by two truckers, played by David Kochner and Jesse Plemons. And also Kristen Wiig's father, played by John Carroll Lynch, is also following them. It's like they're being pursued by four separate parties.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. Mm-hmm. It's very sweaty. The movie, to its credit, does a really good job at having all four of these plot lines intersect at one point in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very clean payoff.
Yeah.
All four of them get paid off sequentially and then like meld into one continuing thread, which takes you to the end of the movie.
Yeah. Structure.
It's structure.
It's just good structure.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm not going to say that movie's a masterpiece by any means, but it does the basic legwork of setting all these things up, paying them off, and then condensing it for a finale. Instead, you get a movie like this where not like Bruce Greenwood never intersects with them.
Mm-mm.
You're just cutting, like, you kind of want the end of this movie to be at a Sugar Ray concert. The drug dealers are like, you want Billy Crystal and Robin Williams have pursued Scott to a Sugar Ray concert. They have to infiltrate the concert. At the same time, that's when Julia Louis-Dreyfus shows up.
Yeah.
And she's about to blow the whole thing. That's when the drug dealers show up. That's when Bruce Greenwood shows up. Everyone shows up at this concert and like you kind of have a big finale there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, none of that happens. There's just the drug dealers there. And also inexplicably Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
What is he doing there?
Getting paid.
He did a one scene cameo where he's what's his name in, like Scott the tattooed man or something.
You're
talking
about Mel Gibson's role?
Yeah.
Mel Gibson's 32nd role in the movie.
Scott the body piercer. That's his role. Oh my God. What is he doing in this?
I don't know, but I do want to hats off to Bruce Greenwood, who got paid to be in seemingly like four actual scenes in this movie, because you know he's not in the porta potty.
I love Bruce Greenwood, but
Bruce Greenwood's
get him
great.
Out of here.
It's like he's in four scenes in the movie. Really, he got paid to be like.
Wait, Bruce Greenwood is Quebecois?
Hmm.
All right. Unfortunately, we have to cancel Bruce Greenwood.
Why?
He's from Quebec.
What's wrong? What's the bit here?
Like the.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to. What's the bit here with?
There's
Quebec?
Just like the joke that Quebecois people are insufferable because they're French. It was a joke. It's an online joke. No disrespect to any actual Quebecois people. I just remember seeing a great tweet once, and it was Denis Villeneuve, who is Quebecois, talking about. He's like, yeah, in Dune, my in was that I connected like the struggles of the Fremen to the struggles of like Quebecois people, being like kind of forced to be Canadian, even though they aren't. And then someone had just retweeted it with a picture of Baron Harkonnen and said, me when I learned the Fremen are Quebecois.
What a story, Mark.
Yeah, very good, right?
Okay.
Anyway.
Good. Excellent.
Hey, Stuart, I'm going to shake your hand. Thank you. Yeah, this movie sucks. The end of the movie sucks. They get the kid back to the house, and she's like, are you going to tell them who your real father is? And he tells both of them that they're his real father.
Yeah.
Because the movie doesn't want to answer who the real father is. And then Robin Williams like absconds with Billy Crystal's Ferrari or something. I don't know.
Cool.
I don't fucking
know. Really cool. This movie was bad. This movie is just really, really bad. I'm trying to think like, We have covered some bad Robin Williams.
We have covered
movies.
Some substantially worse movies than this.
We have.
But this is like just such a nothing movie.
It is. And it's very depressing how much of a nothing movie it is. Yeah. I don't have anything else to say about it. It's just the fact that like the script's bad, the comedy doesn't sell, it doesn't land. And, you know, everything just about this is, like, as you just said, like, pretty much like a full-on nothing burger. So, I don't know. I just didn't really care much for anything else in this movie plot-wise. It's all just kind of like, meh.
Yeah, it's all like, what are we doing?
What are we doing here?
Fellas.
What are we doing here? All right. You have any other final thoughts? This movie comes out. It's a huge flop bomb. Budget was 85. It makes 35.
This should not have been a flop. This should have been an easy layup.
Yeah.
Good comedy, like solid reviews, made its money back. It like,
but even just built,
like Roger Ebert's right. It's no, all sit, no calm.
But it's like, even just like modest reviews, it would have made a profit. Yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus gets nominated for the Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Supporting Actress, which I think is a little rude. She loses to Alicia Silverstone for Batman and Robin. Which is also rude.
The Razzies just hate women.
They do. The Razzies hate, you know, earnesty and women.
One bit I do have for this movie. So during like the press tour for this movie, as they were doing advertising and marketing, Robin Williams and Billy Crystal did make a quick guest TV appearance on a popular show that a lot of people have heard about.
Hey!
Tell us.
You're not going to believe this, okay? So I go over there.
Excuse us. It's a little crowded. Do you mind if we sit?
Yeah, could you scooch?
Oh.
Move over.
Why does he have an accent?
This is fun. This is already funnier than the movie.
Guys, listen. I go over there, and,
Why? What is wrong with me?
What's the matter?
Tim, I have a feeling my wife is sleeping with her gynecologist.
How do you know?
Well, you know, he's got access. You know, it's a feeling you get, you know?
Like when you go bowling and you know you're in somebody else's shoes?
That's the one.
No, so you went to Pete's.
What happened?
Is this something, you know, why is this happening to me? I don't know, maybe it's my wound.
Forget it.
It's not healed yet.
You know, it's oozing, it's oozing. Did you press the cream? Is any? Oh, there's a cream.
Thomas, this is going to be hard, but I wanted it to come from me and nobody else.
What is it, Dean?
It's me. I've been sleeping with your wife.
So you're the gynecologist?
Hey, I'm trying to have a private conversation about it.
Oh, can I have it next? Could you please have it next? Now just give me this thing, all right? Oh, that thing, all right? Enough. And you are no longer my friend. We are finished. Nada, no more. You are a bastard for doing that.
Come on.
Get away from me.
That was both funnier and more dramatically successful of a storyline than
that
Father's.
Was a three act structure.
That was a three act structure.
That bit had a three act structure to it.
Yeah, annoying people next door. You learn their struggles, and then the twist that Billy Crystal's the one sleeping with his wife.
That had more structure.
Yeah, that had more
than,
structure than Father's Day.
Than Father's Day,
and it was a blessed 2 minutes long. The show was Friends because actually none of them spoke. So I guess I should tell the audience that it was Friends. But
oh yeah, yeah. I
none
mean,
of the,
like
none
I,
of it, the Friends spoke.
Yeah, the. I mean, it.
Are
reads,
you a Friends person? I've never seen an episode of Friends.
I did my like you know American obligation to watch the series, and then after I watched it, I was like, I don't know.
I have never seen an episode of Friends.
It's
this is a true fact about me.
My thing about the Friends bit is like, here's the thing. I've seen all of Friends. I've not seen a single episode of Seinfeld.
See, I like Seinfeld.
That's the thing. It's I hear you're either a Seinfeld person or a Friends person. Mm-hmm.
Depends if you're a cynic or
not. Yeah, right. And I don't know. It's fine. It's okay. There's a few good seasons and a few good episodes.
The thing about Seinfeld is like, if I tell you an episode of Seinfeld, like if you laugh at this pitch, then you're a Seinfeld person. If you think it's dumb, then you're not a Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. Is that there's a whole episode where they're just lost in a parking garage trying to find their car, and it's just 22 minutes of them in a parking garage.
Okay, that is pretty funny.
Like,
then.
It's like that's just an episode.
That's pretty funny.
It's an episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah. No. That. All right. So yeah, they make
the thing that's crazy about Friends is like it's so you think about it as like the peak, like so synonymous with the 90s.
Yeah.
It ended in 2004. Like,
well, because it went on for like
10 years. Like, yeah. You think about Friends as like mentally 91 to 9 to like 2000. That's mm-hmm. where mentally I would place Friends if you asked me with a gun in my head. And ending in 2004 just feels strange. It ended like during the Bush reelection year, like 9/11 happened halfway through Friends.
Oh, yeah.
It just feels.
It is like interesting. All the critical early 2000s events, like Friends was around for that.
Yeah.
When was Seinfeld done?
What was what are their names?
Oh, the Friends? You want me to just
what do you think? What do you,
you
think,
want me to speedball
what do you
off
think,
the Friends
what do you think
list?
Joey's take on the Iraq invasion was like? Do we ever find out?
Joey's take on the Iraq invasion was
hey.
what I don't know much about Iraqis, but I know she got Iraqi.
That was a great week. Oh my god. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode.
Okay, but if people who do watch Friends know I am not lying. Yeah, like that is the Joey bit to the Iraq
Seinfeld,
invasion.
Seinfeld was 89 to 98, which feels right. Jesus Christ.
That was totally off the dome.
No, that was correct.
That
was correct.
Off the dome, man. I'm patting myself on the back for that one. That was off the fucking dome. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. There's no other way to end.
Yeah, that's the end of this episode.
That's the end of this episode.
Enough of this.
Thank you all for listening to
Don't watch this movie.
Father's Day. Don't watch it. It sucks. Watch the Friends episode instead. It's season 4, episode 9, I think. I'd be crazy if I was right, actually. Special thanks, as always, to Rebecca Johnson for the graphic design and Becca Van Bogen Smith the theme music. As always, remember to rate, review, comment, like, subscribe, whatever platform you're listening on, of which we are on many. Thank you for listening to Father's Day. Join us next week for Deconstructing Harry. See you all next week for that movie, which we will deconstruct for you.